Eric always puts a knot in the microphone. And whenever I want to take it apart, I feel like I got to pull on the knots. How many of you have kids? Lots of you. And you remember what it was like when you tried to undo the shoelaces of your kids. Thank you, Eric. It's good to be home. And it's good to see you last week and to hear Ben share the word. Undoubtedly, we are in challenging times. Passage that we read this morning is really very important in terms of our perspective. There's a work to do. There are people who need the Lord. And I think that's where we really need to have our focus. We're going to look at another passage here in a moment, but I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. This week, Stan's sister passed from this life and awaiting resurrection. On the other hand, Daniel and Dorothea had a little baby. And life has this sense of we see this marvel on the one hand of new life. And of course, the moment that you placed your trust in Christ, you experience new life, born of the Spirit. But there's also this reality that until the Lord returns and we go into the eternal state, we will experience the mortality. And as a result of sin, we are guaranteed death unless the Lord returns and takes his church home. And so we're here this morning in view of that fact because the Savior, who was born as a babe, also tasted death so that we might experience life. I also want to remember Mrs. Greening this morning. She just basically did something the wrong way, and consequently she's just not up to par. And would you just undertake for her? And then to, I meant to mention last week that we, the Gertsen family out in the Roseau River area, and when we heard that news, we were, clearly grieving with them and loss of their two daughters. And so let's remember that family. And then, of course, the situation in our world, whether it be the people in Haiti who are there's a friend of mine, his in-laws, they just got a picture of showing what happened to their house as a result of the earthquake, and it was just completely demolished. And it wasn't much to begin with, but at the same time, it's hard for us to envision what little we have and then to lose it. So, and then the chaos in Afghanistan, and at the church would be the church, and that we would be in support of all that we can, certainly prayerfully, and then to do what we can in loving and caring. And so join me in prayer as we just remember these matters here today. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for what we've heard in song. We thank you that you have watched over us in this past week, this past summer, as we anticipate the autumn season with all of the different activities. We pray for wisdom and strength. Lord, may your joy be our strength today. May we rejoice in the grace that we received as we remember you. We thank you, Lord, for the life that was granted to Dorothea's little boy, and that Daniel and Dorothea and their family can experience this new joy and a little baby in the home and anticipation of all that brings. And so we pray that you would touch that family and that little boy and that he might grow up in loving you. At the same time, as we rejoice with those who rejoice, we also weep with those who weep. And so we're remembering Stan and his family, his sister's family. We thank you for Irene. We got to meet her here a little while ago, and her love for you, and just thank you so much for her life and how that she loved as you would have her love, and how she ministered to Stan just coming out here and meeting with him. And so thank you, Lord, for her life, and just look forward to meeting her in eternity and just pray that you'd be a comfort to those who are grieving at this time. Father, we also just wanted to uphold the hurting in Haiti and Afghanistan and the turmoil that takes place, whether it be national disaster or whether it be political chaos, all in the name of, I'm not really sure, sometimes it's riches, sometimes it's religious ideologies, and we can't fully grasp all that's taking place in our world today. We just pray that we would love as you love, that we would recognize that the world in which we live in are like sheep without a shepherd, scattered here or there and harassed by everything that's going on. Help us, Lord, to be a comfort and be loving in our responses to the world in which we live in. We do want to pray for Mrs. Greening this morning and pray that you would undertake for her, grant her strength, and also, Lord, pray that you touch her body, restore her to health. You know that she's not feeling that great, and just pray that you just continue to encourage her. Thank you for the encouragement she's been to all of us as she has prayed for us, ministered to us, whether it be playing the piano and just being here from, well, a long time ago. Thank you for each one here this morning. Pray that as we break bread together that we might give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you to turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John just for a moment, then I'll ask some of you men if you'd like to come up and share something. I was asked yesterday a little bit about the breaking of bread and, you know, what's going on? We are remembering the Lord in his death and his resurrection. As I've said before, there's nothing mystical going on. There's nothing taking place in the emblems. It's not by partaking that somehow there's some infusion. There's nothing like that. Out of our belief, our persuasion that Jesus is the Christ, and simply obeying that he's asked us to remember him in this way, do we partake? And so the Lord Jesus ate meals just like you and me, always thankful for what he had, always wanting people to actually understand that they were to be thankful for what God had provided. And so all that you and I have is from the Lord. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets with this woman in Samaria. Of course, the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with Samaritans. They were half-breeds. They were people who had somehow betrayed national Israel by intermarrying with the different ones that had come into the country, the Assyrians and different other groups. And you can find that back there in 2 Kings 17. And so here's the Lord in his compassion and his love for people goes and he meets this woman. John picks it up and he says, basically, this is a divine appointment. God had determined that. He wanted his disciples to know that all people have a right to hear the good news. So while Jesus is ministering to them, they're gone off to the grocery store. They're gone to get some food and bring it back. And we pick up the scene at verse 31. Rabbi, eat something. Like after all, we went to town, got some food. We know that we've walked a long time and, you know, they're oblivious to the interchange. Somewhere along the way, John picked that up. Either the Lord Jesus told them firsthand, in all likelihood. I have food to eat. Disciples look at each other, what do you mean you've got food to eat? Did you sneak into town? Did you go and pick something up? Like, I mean, while we were gone, we didn't cross each other's paths. What do you mean? Again, oblivious to the spiritual lessons. Life consists more than one's possessions. Life is about this abiding fellowship that we have with the Lord. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What work? What is God's work if it isn't to regather the nations? If it isn't to reach the lost? Harvest is truly plentiful. You need to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. Do you not say, verse 35, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes. Open your eyes. It's not about 2020 here. It's about being able to see what God wants us to see. The scattered, the harassed, the marginalized, the hurting in our world. Look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. You might want to put down that Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38 next to this verse. Because this is the two passages that the Lord talks about harvest. And he uses it in the same way. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Sowing in tears and reaping in joy, right? That we read in the Psalms. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what others have not worked for. And you think of the world and you think of what's going on in different parts of the world, you sort of find yourself in a place that says, you know, I couldn't have planned this. I just happened to be where God wants me to be. I'm having a conversation that I couldn't have planned for, but this is the conversation that God wants me to have with this person who hasn't yet been persuaded of the truth of the gospel. Our God is at work. The things that are taking place in your lives and the conversations that you are having has to do with God loving people, seeking to finish the work the Father has given him, to regather people from the different nations. Say, well, is that happening here in Winkler? Of course. I met with a woman the other day from Ecuador. I didn't plan on it. Well, Lord, I guess I'm going to meet somebody from Ecuador today. Let's do that. Meet with someone from India. All these different people groups are right here in Winkler. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and reflect on it. Reflect about where you are, what you're doing. Talk with your children about, they're not just happenstance in terms of the relationships that they have. God is using all of our relationships to reach people with the good news. But then we need to be good news in the way that we look at life, living by faith. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Just want to invite any of you that would like to share something that you've been reading, meditating upon. I just shared a few thoughts with you, and then we'll go back to that passage in Matthew 9 a little later before we break bread.
Go any higher. I'll just bend over. Turn to Psalm 145. Been reading in the Psalms this week and just encouraged by that in light of everything that's going on. I didn't meet anybody from India or Ecuador, but Schoenfeld and Gorditz I did. So. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are in control of all things. And no matter what happens on earth and the chaos that we're witnessing, that you're in control and that you love us, you care for us, and you know all things. We thank you for that. We just thank you for your Son, whom you gave for us so that we could have life. I pray this in your name. Amen.
To share a little bit from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is sharing the Sermon on the Mount. And verse 21, I'll start there, and it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then it says in verse 22, it says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." And then over to verse 33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, and sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So just thinking about the idea of the light, the eye is the lamp of the body, and we know that Jesus is the light of the world, and he says if we follow him, in John chapter 8, verse 12, says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And so when we look around, we see a lot of darkness, but I just think we need to keep our eye on the Lord, and that'll be our focus, and that will help us to walk in the light. And thinking about that. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the light and that we can follow you, and you've given us all that we need to do that. Lord, we thank you for your love, your grace, and the strength that you give by your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that we would walk closely to you. Lord, we would encourage each other. Lord, that we would be focused on the right things in life, things that help us to have a healthy view, a healthy body. Lord, helps to stay away from the darkness and to not get trapped by that. Lord, just pray these things in your name. Amen.
You to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. I'll read verses 16 to the end of the chapter. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you again, just thanking you for your word. Thank you for the different passages that have been shared this morning, just reminding us of your love for us, the love that you show to us every day, ultimately you giving your life so that we could be set free and have eternal life. Help us to show this love that you've given to us to the ones around us, as we read clearly in Scripture that it is our duty to do so. Help us to, when we see a need, Lord, help us to do what we can. And help us to be discerning, Lord, for different things we're hearing. Help us to be focused on you. Help us not to lose our perspective, but help us to draw our strength and our guidance from your word. And help us to be a light like you want us to be. Thank you for each one here. I just pray this all in Jesus' name.
Let's turn our Bibles back to the Gospel of Matthew in the 9th chapter. The Savior whom we're remembering this morning is one who is acquainted with all of our infirmities, one who understands us, who is tempted in all manners just as we are, but yet without sin. Peter picks up on that. It's a little difficult to appreciate sometimes all the things that the Lord had to endure. People telling him that the signs and wonders that he was doing were being done in the name of Beelzebub. Giving credit to Satan. Tell your disciples to quit saying that, Hosanna, Hosanna. Well, if they should stop, even the rocks would cry out. You who said that you would rebuild this temple, come down off that cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 35, when Jesus went through all the towns and villages, been to a few towns and villages. Someone the other day was telling me a little bit about the area. I said, yeah, I've been through this area door to door a few times. Introduce myself and then to just talk with people. I led one man to the Lord, and people find it rather strange that God is actually seeking people. Especially in a Christian community. Could there possibly be lost people here in Winkler? What do harassed people look like from town to town? What are the crowds looking like today if they aren't harassed? What about you and I having compassion on the fearful, on the hurting, on the disillusioned, on the broken, on the poor, on the weak, on the marginalized of our society? Who are the helpless? Sometimes there are people that work with you. Sometimes they're in your family. I was reminded of that pretty vividly when I went back to Timmins and spent time with my family to see the broken and the hurting, the harassed. How do we show compassion? The song goes, everyone needs compassion. The harvest is the people who need compassion. The harvest is about the broken and the lost. What kind of workers are needed for that? Well, it's people who aren't afraid to get in the mud, kneel down and pick people up, aren't afraid to weep with those who weep, kind of people who aren't afraid to do whatever it takes. That's what Jesus did. I've come to do my Father's work. There's work to be done. Why do we come to break bread? Because we're reminded that the Savior came to do a work. And it isn't complete in the sense that our part, God's part's complete in the sense that Jesus died and rose again, which we remember with gratitude, with jubilation. But there are a lot of people who haven't heard, haven't understood it, because we haven't sat with them. We haven't wept with them. We haven't picked them up. We haven't walked with them. Ask the Lord. Make your request. Talk with God about this harvest. What are you going to talk to him about? To send the workers. What kind of workers are we looking for? Well, again, those who aren't afraid to be with the broken, the marginalized, the hurt, the weak. They're here in Winkler. They're here. They've always been here. You have family, friends. There are people who are not here this morning because they are working with the broken, the marginalized, the hurting. Some of them are in their own families. Why is the Lord asking us to pray in that way? Just as we come here to be reminded of his grace, his love, his patience, his forgiveness, that God is good to all, as we read in Psalm 145. He is faithful to all that he has done. Because I think we would quickly forget. Would you recognize a hurting person if you saw them? Or would you turn away? God is a God of healing. He heals the bruised, the wounded, but he also brings life to the same ones. I want you to think about the people that were within your sphere of influence, people that you know. And maybe there are some people that you know that you wish weren't part of your sphere of influence. Ouch. So in chapter 10, verse 1, gets what he does. He says to his disciples in verse 37, pray, Lord of the harvest, right? So then he calls his 12, and he gave them authority to drive out. And a lot of people focus on that. I don't know that that's necessarily our calling as such, but going to make disciples may mean that we may confront some of those things from time to time. But the idea is that you would take the risk in doing what God has called you to do in the making of disciples. Verse 7 of chapter 10, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. That's a message that we have. That should get you excited. Because the shepherds who watched the birth of Christ, they couldn't help themselves. They were going around telling everybody. We should be running out of here, going door to door to all our families and co-workers and telling them exactly who Jesus is. Find a way in which you can do it. Those that don't want to hear, keep moving. There's lots of people who do. So I just work with people who don't want to. That's not quite true. You need to look. You need to allow the light to shine through so you can see what God sees. Those of you who are helping with serving this morning, if you'd come forward at this time. I was sitting on my couch, looking out the window as I was reading the news about Afghanistan. I started to cry and reflect upon the helpless, the hurting, the persecuted. And I sort of gave myself a little bit of a slap. What are you doing here? Why aren't you out there? Hard to imagine, would you be willing to run in the fray and know that possibly there's a suicide bomber in the crowd? Would you risk your life so that others could have life? Because that's what Jesus did. Ask one of you men to give thanks for the loaf, and then we'll pass it to one another.
Father, we come to you, just thank you for the different passages that were shared this morning. Thank you for your love for us, what you've done for us. As we remember this morning, Lord, the great cost of you giving your life, taking the sin of all people of all time upon yourself so that we could be set free. Thank you for that. Thank you for Jesus' willingness to have his body broken for us. Just pray for the bread that we're about to partake, Lord. I ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, you don't want to take these times for granted. They are really special, where you meet with your family and you meet with friends, believers who love the Lord, and you just remember that we're part of one body. On the night Lord Jesus was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Give thanks for the cup. Lord, we come to you and we thank you for the blood of the new covenant. A new covenant where we recognize that we're saved solely by grace, by virtue of our faith in the person of your Son, who grants eternal life to all who believe. You've taught us how to live, and we can only imagine the kinds of things that were said, and we have different glimpses in the Gospel of John. We know that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so what you did once for all so that we could have free access to your very presence. And so may we partake with joy. May we remember the cost. And may we live a life of gratitude for the life that's been granted. In Jesus' name, amen. John 13, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, and Peter says, "You're not going to wash my feet, are you, Lord?" Well, you don't really understand what I'm doing now, but you will. John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me." Well, show us the Father, Philip says. "Philip, have you been with me so long that you don't know the Father? The Father is in me and I am in the Father." John 15, verse 16. "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and called you friends. I let my friends know what the Father is doing, God's plans are." And so we've been privileged to be able to break bread and to realize that Jesus, the friend of sinners, has given his blood so that we might have life. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 2:2. "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Come, Lord Jesus, right? I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me. Revelation 22. Let's stand together and we'll close in prayer. Oh, I want you to sort of all get together and hold hands, but I won't do that. But that's what family is. It's good to be with you and to be able to break bread. Looking forward to that day where we'll be celebrating with the Lord, and all the saints through time will be there. People that we've known and laughed with who are no longer with us. Lord, thank you for each one here. Thank you for the love that you expressed, demonstrated on Calvary's cross. We thank you for the saints around the world today who are living for you, seek to honor you, or proclaiming the good news amongst the brokenhearted. Thank you that these men and women love you and are seeking to honor you with their lives. Give them strength in this coming week. Help them to see that they are part of your plan in reaching a broken world. May we, in the midst of our own brokenness, humbly ask you for the needed perspective, needed strength. May we always be thankful. May we be prayerful. May we seek to do all that we can for the building up of your body. May we demonstrate compassion in our love for those around us. Thank you for our time here this morning. Undertake for the work at Emmaus. Pray for Henry and Tracy as they've had a few days away. Give them a time of refreshing. And Father, as we come into this season of re-equipping, and may you just strengthen us and help us to realize the privilege that we have in nurturing our children and young people, small groups and Bible classes, and ladies' ministry. All of those things are just wonderful opportunities where we get to encourage one another. May we seek to do that prayerfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, boy, have a great day. I want to say greet each other with a holy handshake, but...